The US Open on In Play Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome along. You're listening to the latest edition of the US Open Tennis Podcast. It's Dave Kellner in the studio with Sky Sports commentator Nick Lester on the line to look ahead to the four men's quarterfinals, two women's quarterfinals, and one women's semi-final on this edition of the podcast. It's a pleasure to have you with us here on the Tennis Podcast. Nick's on the line now, fresh back from the States, Nick. You've been working for ESPN over there.
Yeah, just doing the interactive service over there, Dave. So we had some good matches on Grandstand and then all the outside courts. And just, you know, it's a great tournament, the US Open. I would definitely urge a tennis fan, if they're listening, if they haven't been, to get out there because it's totally different than Wimbledon. It's, you know, it's day and night, really, from the atmosphere out there. But it's great, and it's definitely worth a trip one day.
What are the differences between the atmosphere out there?
You'd sit amongst the crowd and they're having a conversation on their cell phone whilst eating a burger and also at the same time ordering a pizza. You know, it literally couldn't be more different from Wimbledon. People are wandering around. They're much more laid back. I mean, it's not everyone's cup of tea, but I like it. And the night sessions are just fabulous. I mean, to be fair, the night sessions are on some of the outside courts almost better than they are on the Arthur Ashe court, because the first week on Arthur Ashe is actually generally quite dull at night because the matches are so one-sided. But if you get on Grandstand in 17, the first week, there's some great matches on under the lights, and I think that's what really makes it so special.
The event's been a little bit stop-start over the first 8 or 9 days with the inclement weather, but it really is... It really is starting to get going now, and I think we should start this podcast by talking about Roger Federer first of all, because he was knocked out in the fourth round by Tommy Robredo, and do you think that was his most disappointing loss at a Grand Slam ever?
Yes, I do. Yeah, I would certainly go along with that. Especially given his record, Dave, against Robredo. I think he'd never lost to him before. He barely lost sets to the guy, and you know, you can look at it so many different ways. I mean, I personally think one of the issues he has at the moment is he's just lost a lot of confidence in his game. And, I think there are definitely parts of his game that are still there. I think, you know, in terms of the way he can dominate points. But I just think when he starts to lose at the moment, Dave, this is the problem. When he goes a set down and a break down, that's when he doesn't have at the moment the confidence in the reserves to really have the faith in his game. And it's a strange thing to say for someone that's won all the titles he has, but it doesn't matter who you are, it affects you. And the forehand was horrific on Friday night, or Saturday night, whenever it was, or Monday night, sorry, wasn't it? And he just couldn't find the court. And Robredo's a season campaigner, as we know. He will make you play a lot of tennis balls. He knows his way around a tennis court. But it was tough for Federer, and he said so. You know, he was very honest afterwards. I admire his honesty. He said, you know, in a way, I'm glad I'm out, because I wouldn't have beaten Rafa or Philip Kohlschreiber playing like that. And I thought that was very honest from him. It is, you know, we've alluded to this year already, haven't we? This has been the worst year, arguably, of his career since 2002-03. And sadly, age, I think, is beginning to catch up with him. And now, you know, everyone's sort of wondering when he's going to bail out. At what point is he, you know, is he going to be happy being a top 10 player, Dave, for the next year, year and a half, 2 years? Is he going to be happy with that? Or is he just going to suddenly go, you know, sort of at the end of the season, maybe? I don't know. We'll see.
What is your gut feeling?
My gut feeling is we haven't seen the last of him. I think he has, there's two reasons. I think he has a passion for the game that is almost unrivaled. I think he absolutely loves the sport, and I don't think he's going to go out yet. And I still think he probably believes he's still got a major in him. And I think until he doesn't think that, he won't call a day. If you had to ask me right now, I might say end of 2014, maybe his last 2014, maybe his last year on tour. But we'll see.
Let's have a look at the men's quarterfinals. We'll start off with the men's side of the event, and Richard Gasquet taking on David Ferrer in his quarterfinal. Richard Gasquet in the betting at 21-10. David Ferrer is 4-11 for this match. These two guys have met a total of 9 times on tour before, and David Ferrer has an overwhelming head-to-head record. Overwhelmingly positive head-to-head record against Gasquet. He's won 8 of their 9 meetings. Richard Gasquet came through against Milos Raonic in the fourth round, and David Ferrer got the better of Janko Tipsarevic in four tight sets in his fourth round match. I know David Ferrer has obviously dominated Richard Gasquet in their past meetings. Do you have the feeling throughout this event so far that David Ferrer has just looked a little bit fatigued?
Well, I actually commentated on his last match against Tipsarevic, the one you mentioned, Dave, and high-quality match, very high-quality affair. I thought it was Ferrer's best match of the tournament. I thought Tipsarevic, who's been in the doldrums for 6 months, played as good a tennis as I've seen from him pretty much all year. I thought it was a performance that could turn his season around as well. So had you have asked me that question, I think, before the match, I think I would certainly have given you a shot that Ferrer might be slightly wobbling. But I have to say, we all know what David Ferrer is about, and he seems to get better and better as tournaments go on. He didn't have much form coming in here, as you know. He lost early in the two major warm-ups, and it wasn't pretty. But he was very, very solid against Tipsarevic, I have to say, when it really mattered. You know, and this is where Ferrer is so strong, Dave, isn't it? When it really matters, when the pressure is really on, this guy delivers. This guy has a game plan that is just so reliable. He knows what to do on the big points. His game plan, his patterns of play are so reliable, and he is so drilled in what he does well that I think that is when it counts. And against Tipsarevic, who served for the first and third sets and won the second, you know, that was an opportunity, but Ferrer does not give you anything. And for me, the head-to-head worries me here. I mean, I look down at their head-to-head, as you say, it's 8-1. Ferrer hasn't lost, I think he's won 11 sets in a row, Dave. This is a bit of a nightmare for Gasquet, this matchup, because he's going to have to be patient and he's going to have to wait for his chance. It is a completely different matchup for the one against Raonic, as you say, and I just think Ferrer, clearly from that head-to-head, has a major advantage. He can just wear Gasquet down. Gasquet stands a fair way back in the court, as we know. Ferrer's an unbelievable mover. Gasquet has so much flair about him, but I just don't see him being able to wear down Ferrer. I think he's had a phenomenal year, Ferrer, again, and I see him winning this one, to be honest, fairly comfortably, maybe in three or four sets.
David Ferrer to win three sets to love is 7-4. David Ferrer to win three sets to one is 5-2. I was looking back through Richard Gasquet's previous performances in Grand Slam events and was amazed to see, before getting past Raonic, who I really fancied in the last round against Gasquet, he'd only been past the fourth round in a slam once.
1-15. Yeah, he had a 1-15 record.
It's incredible, yeah, isn't it? For a guy of his quality.
It's incredible.
What do you think holds him back?
Mentally, I think he struggles. I think he still struggles. I think in many ways he's a guy actually that is better when the pressure is off, which might favour him here possibly, you could say. But I think when it, you know, he's a guy that likes to sneak through the early rounds without too much pressure on the outside courts. And then suddenly when it really begins to matter and it's around a 16, that's when he struggles. And that's always been his way. He's a hugely introverted character, Gasquet, and you know, I think he's got good people with him now. And I think he's definitely maturing. I think he's getting there. But again, there's been too many times this year where we've expected him to step up and he hasn't done so. And that's why I have to stick with Ferrer. I just don't think Gasquet is still that comfortable in the limelight. I still think he's quite frail as well at times with his game. He still doesn't, you know, his ability to compete, I think, is not in the same league as someone like Ferrer's on a one-on-one shot-to-shot basis. Yeah, of course he's right up there, but I think in terms of consistency, you know, you have to stick with Ferrer in this one.
Yeah, Ferrer to win it in three or four. Would you go three or would you go four?
I'd probably go three, to be honest, yeah. Dave. I'd probably go three.
7-4 for the straight sets win. Next match, this is scheduled for... This is an evening match stateside and early hours of tomorrow morning here in the UK. Tommy Robredo versus Rafael Nadal. Tommy Robredo is 10-1. Rafael Nadal 1-25 to win this match. Nadal just keeps on rolling this week. He's looked superb. Did drop a set, his first set of the tournament against Philipp Kohlschreiber in the fourth round. Tommy Robredo, as we referenced at the start of the podcast, beat Roger Federer in straight sets, demolished Roger Federer in straight sets. But Rafael Nadal's only ever dropped one set to Tommy Robredo. That was in Paris back in 2009. They've not actually met since 2009, these two guys, but Rafael Nadal with a 6-0 head-to-head record. It looks tough to see a way Robredo can get into this match, Nick.
Well, it is. I mean, first of all, a word on Tommy Robredo, who was a quarterfinalist at Roland Garros, Dave, who basically had to go down and back and play challenges last year because he was so low in the rankings through the injuries he had. And in the mid-30s, I mean, tip your hat to this guy for what he's done in the last year, because he could be arguably a comeback player of the year, Tommy Robredo. Phenomenal effort. I just don't see any way around this. I mean, there was a really nice piece actually written by one of the journalists called Doug Robson on Nadal this year and the way he's playing. And if you look at, you break down some of the numbers, one of the things he's doing really well this year, Dave, is he's putting a high percentage of first serves in the box. And what that's allowing him to do is dominate from the first point. So therefore, he's not hitting the serve quite as hard as he was a couple of years ago when he won here. He's down to about 110, 115 mile an hour first serve. But players aren't able to dominate off the return of that serve. So therefore, he's getting a first strike in. And that has been a really significant part. He has not dropped serve all week, Rafael Nadal, Dave. I think he's something like 60 from 60 or around that mark. So he's the only guy in the field who hasn't done that. I thought Cole Schreiber played really well the other night. Again, his backhand down the line could hurt Nadal. I don't think Robredo's backhand is anywhere near as good as Cole Schreiber's, and they're both single-handers. Tommy is a guy, again, who likes to hit a lot of balls in court, and it's not going to get the job done against Rafa. That is not the way to play Rafa. You have to try and dictate points. I don't see any way around. For me, this is the most one-sided quarterfinal, I think, of all of them, and Rafa in three for me, hands down.
Rafael Nadal to win in straight sets 3-10. If you're looking at the handicap betting, which is on the William Hill website, sports.williamhill.com, click on tennis, click on the match. Handicap, Rafael Nadal minus 8.5 games at 5-6. Shows you how one-sided it is, but he could easily cover that spread.
Could well do. I mean, you know, you're looking at this could well be a 2-2 and 2 blowout.
Yeah.
You know, seriously. I mean, if I was laying some money, I would be looking at a 2-2 and 2, 2-2 and 3, something like that. This is two guys who play a similar way from the back of the court with one guy. You know, it's just, in many ways, it's almost like Robredo's throwing his sort of sticks at him, whereas Rafa's got his knives. And, you know, it's Rafa just has been so good this year on the hard courts. And for me, I don't see any way Robredo's going to hurt him.
It's strange as well, isn't it? Because people will maybe not understand the full dynamics of top-class tennis, and they'll think Robredo's beaten Federer, one of the greats in the game, in three sets, straight sets. He's playing one of the other greats of the game, Rafael Nadal, in the quarterfinals here, but the matchup couldn't be any different.
No, exactly. And you know, so Nadal's standing much closer to the baseline at the moment, Dave, as well. He's not missing. Federer, you know, let's be honest, Federer gave him half that match. You know, the errors that came from Federer, the 3 points that Robredo got in that match, he's just not going to get it from Nadal. You know, Nadal's probably going to put in 15 to 20 unforced errors in three sets, absolute maximum, if he plays to the best of his ability. And that means Robredo's going to have to find a way to step up the court, and that's something he's not particularly good at.
Next up is Novak Djokovic, who has looked absolutely superb throughout the course of the first week. He's taking on Mikhail Yuzhny in the quarterfinal. 1-20, Novak Djokovic. Mikhail Yuzhny in the betting at 9-1. Novak Djokovic dropped 3 points on serve against Marcel Granollers in his fourth round victory. Came through 6-3, 6-love, 6-love. And Mikhail Yuzhny, a much tougher time against Leighton Hewitt. Beat Hewitt 7-5 in the fifth. And that's a match you were commentating on, Yuzhny versus Hewitt, Nick.
Oh, world class. Just, I mean, talk about tipping your hat to a player. We talked about Robredo, Leighton Hewitt as well. I mean, that guy, you will literally have to get your shovel out and pull that guy off the court when he's dead, because what an athlete, what a competitor. Just outstanding. I mean, the way he played, I sat and watched the Del Potro match on Tuesday, Wednesday night, whatever it was, from the stadium, actually. And I had a feeling he'd beat Del Potro, you know. I just had a feeling Del Potro wasn't 100% fit. But, I mean, Leighton Hewitt, just a phenomenal effort. And, you know, in a way, it was a shame, obviously, serving at 5-2 in the fifth against Yuzhny. He probably should have got the job done. But, again, one of Hewitt's biggest problems has been, it's not been his lack of ability to compete. It's been his lack of ability for weapons. And if you don't have weapons, it's not easy to finish matches. His mind has often been his weapon. And he didn't quite have it. And Yuzhny does have weapons. And he has one of the best backends in the game. And, you know, big fan of Yuzhny. He's always have been an inconsistent player, really, over the years, Dave. If you look back at his results, he's had good weeks and then a couple of bad weeks, and he's not even able to string it together. He's a very bright man. One of, to me, I think he actually has one of the best single-handed backhands in the game, and not just because he can hit it hard, but because of his slice backhand. I mean, he has the ability to change the pace on his backhand. For me, as good as anyone, really, and I genuinely mean that. I think he's a great player. I love to watch him. He's a real competitor as well, usually. If you get up close and watch him play, he's got a real good attitude. As you say, big, big task against Novak. Novak obviously moving great. I guess the one way to look at this is Djokovic hasn't had a test yet. I mean, Granollers and Sousa in the last two rounds, I mean, you really would bite your hand off just to get that draw. So he's been fortunate, I think, in his draw so far. I do actually think that Djokovic will be tested here. I really do. I think this could be his first big match. He says he's obviously in prime shape. Like, it looks as though he is. But it wouldn't surprise me that he'd usually keep this tight for quite a while and, you know, maybe go to four sets or possibly five. You know, you think back to the quarterfinal Novak had at the Australian Open against Wawrinka. I think we could well see a similar scenario. You know, they're not too dissimilar players. They're really not. And usually can light it up. So I think this one could be close.
Djokovic to win 3-1 is 100-30. Djokovic to win 3-2 is 9-1. We haven't got the handicap markets on the website yet, but they will appear as the match draws closer. So maybe play usually on the handicap and...
Well, yeah. I mean, 100-30 for usually to get your sets a good price safe. And so for me, that's a good price. You've got the ability to win against Novak Djokovic without a shadow of a doubt for me, which is what I'm only looking to perform on the day, because I really think this could be a good test for Novak. I think... you know, usually he's got a lot of game about him, and he can hit winners from anywhere. He's a great athlete. He's confident. He won Gestad a couple of weeks ago as well. He's winning matches on all surfaces. Now, this will not be easy for Djokovic. I think the value for me is in looking at usually getting a set. 100-30 is a good price for me.
Yeah, 100-30 on Djokovic to win 3-1. If you had to compare and contrast Djokovic's run here to Nadal's run, which one of those two guys do you think is playing the better tennis at the moment?
Well, it's tough to say because I don't think they've really played anyone, Dave. I don't think they've really played anyone. I mean, Kohlschreiber obviously gave him a test, but I don't think really... It's very hard to sort of test the waters when neither man has really been tested. If you're asking me over the course of the last month, I still think Rafa, for me, I said Rafa at the start, I'm not going to go away from Rafa. I just think he, you know, the way he's playing and the way he's going about his tennis, for me, I still think it's so dominant. He's made the very small adjustments to playing on hard that I think he's required to do in terms of him stepping up the court a little bit and trying to get that first strike in. And, you know, that's what Novak did to Rafa, remember, at Wimbledon a couple of years ago. That's the changes that the serve had to make. And it's almost as if Rafa's countered that a little bit. And I think I'm still sticking with Rafa overall. But again, if you're asking me who's the better player, tough to say because they really haven't had that major test yet.
Finish off the men's quarters with the defending champion, Andy Murray, taking on Stan Wawrinka. Murray 1-5, Stan Wawrinka 7-2. Wawrinka came through in four sets against Thomas Burdick. Andy Murray came through in four sets against Dennis Istomin. Do you think, first of all, Andy Murray will be relieved here not to be facing Thomas Burdick at this stage?
I'm not sure. I mean, either way, he's not got a fabulous record against either man. I mean, obviously, Burdick is a slightly weaker head-to-head, but, you know, the Rink is a guy that's got him in the past as well, as you know, Dave, so I'm not really sure about that. I mean, tough to say. Tough to answer that question. I don't know. No, I don't. I probably, if you have to push me, I don't think I do. I think Wawrinka is a, you know, he's playing very well. He's on an upward curve, this guy, Dave. He's got a really good coach on board now, Magnus Norman. I was talking to him last week a little bit. And Magnus Norman was an absolute workhorse, and you can see that's rubbing off on Wawrinka a little bit as well. He's more disciplined now in his tennis. He's much more focused. He's mature. Again, I think this is a tough match for Murray. I really do. I think this is a very difficult matchup. I mean, they played in Monte Carlo last time and Wawrinka beat him. Forget that. Completely rule it out. That's absolutely irrelevant because that was the first match that Murray played on clay. I would completely forget that. What I would look at is the matches they played on hard courts, Dave, because they've been very close. You know, I think they're 2-2 or 1-1 here at the US Open. They've been very close. Look through the matches they played on hard courts. They've all been close. They've all been four or five sets. Wawrinka has the ability, as we know, we've seen it before, to penetrate through the court. He can punish you off both sides. And if Murray is just a fraction passive in this match, he will be doing a lot of running. You know, and for me, Wawrinka for me has always been a little bit of a sleeping giant. A guy that's always been there. We're always sort of looking at him. Again, it hasn't had the consistency for whatever reason that may be, whether it's the mental demons that, again, that affect so many players in this game. That might well be the case. But I, you know, this is a match that Murray is going to have to be very, very wary of, I'm telling you.
Is there, maybe I'm reading a little bit too much into this, but now that Federer appears to be on the decline now, do you think it could be, Wawrinka might be thinking it's time for me to step out of this guy's shadow here?
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, it's never going to happen, is it? Because let's be honest, even if Federer retires, he's never going to receive the adulation that Federer receives wherever he goes, let alone in Switzerland, wherever he goes. So I think he has to be his own man.
Yeah.
And you know, in many ways, perhaps Federer has helped him with his career. You know, with they're pretty close friends, so that's not a bad thing. It's a difficult one. I think also the counter argument would that to be that so often in tennis you see in individual sports you see players from different countries push one another. Well, that hasn't happened with Wawrinka. You know, he's gone the other way. So tough one, but I do think he's certainly going the right way at the moment, and his results on hard courts have improved year upon year. He's put, you know, was known as a bit of a clay courter 3 or 4 years ago. But he definitely has the ability to hurt Murray. I'm not going to go against Murray, but again, I think this could be 5 sets, babe. I think this really could be 5 sets.
Andy Murray to win 3-2 is in the betting at 13-2. So Andy Murray 3-2 at 13-2. How do you think he's progressed in this title defence throughout the course of the first 8 or 9 days? Nick, he did struggle a little bit against Florian Mayer. I watched the first couple of sets there. And he appeared not to really appreciate conditions. It was a midday match, US time, so it was humid and a little bit oppressive, the conditions. But he seemed to struggle a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. It was very windy last night, I must say, against Istomin. I wouldn't read a great deal into that. Istomin's a very flat hitter who was aggressive last night, and I think I'd probably give Murray a 7 or 8 out of 10 so far. I think that's probably what he'd give himself. But again, has he really been tested? You know, did he have to play his best tennis against Florian Mayer? No, he only needed to play 75% to get it done. He won in 3 sets. So, you know, I still think, as I said to you at the start of the tournament, for me, he's not a favourite here for whatever reason. I just didn't fancy him. But I think Novak and Rafa, for me, are playing the better tennis. Murray's just in behind there. But I do think this is a big, big test. I really do, and I think there's a bit. You know, if you fancy a bit of an outsider here, Wawrinka's got a real shot. I think Murray might work. For me, I'm going to go Murray in 5. But Wawrinka is a man that is going the right direction, and also has good people behind him. And if you get good people behind you in this sport, that's critical because that's going to see you improve.
On to the women's side now, and we start off with a match that's scheduled on court around about 5:05 this afternoon. It's Roberta Vinci taking on Flavia Panetta. Roberta Vinci 10-11, Flavia Panetta in the betting at 10-11 as well, so the bookmakers can't split them. Vinci came through against Camille Giorgi in the previous round, 6-4, 6-2. Flavia Panetta, shock winner over Simona Halep, who'd been on an unbelievable run recently. Simona Halep beaten by Panetta 6-2, 7-6 in the fourth round. Panetta's progress, a little bit of a surprise this week, Nick, given that her form coming into the event was pretty ordinary.
Yeah, I think you've got to remember she was injured, though. I mean, she's been injured for a year, pretty much. She's had sort of more than that. She's had 18 months worth of injuries. So, and she made the round of 16 at Wimbledon. That shouldn't be forgotten either. You know, just perhaps not really being talked about that much. Her ranking was down at 150 because she hadn't been able to play earlier in the year. So she's definitely put together a really good summer's worth of results. She's been a top 10 player, isn't she, before? She's been a US Open quarterfinalist 3 times. So I would agree. I'm not going to sit here and say I expected Flavia Panetta to make the quarters. But on reflection, if you look at it, you know, she's got some good pedigree. We know that. She's 31. It's been quite a fortnight, isn't it, for the 30-plus players. I think 5 now in the quarterfinals, and that I think that breaks the record for the Open era with regards to the players over 30. So tough one, this. I mean, two obviously players again over 30, two Italians. Vinci, if she wins, will be a top 10 player for the first time in her career. I quite fancy Panetta. You know, I think the way she's attacked, you know, she's beaten, as you say, Simona Halep, who probably is one of the players of the year so far. So that was an excellent win. Vinci will come in with a lot of slice and she'll mix it up a little bit. That was what Camilla Giorgi suffered with, I think, the other day. She couldn't cope with that I think Panetta will be fine with that. I don't think she'll be worried about the Vinci game. Vinci's a bit old school, and she can sometimes sort of confuse players. But I don't think they'll worry Panetta. I think Panetta will win this one. I really do. Two sets for me, two, three sets, tough to say. But I think Panetta is someone that will not be intimidated by Vinci's game like a lot of players can be.
Flavia Panetta to win in straight sets is in the betting at 2-1. 2-1 on Panetta to come through in straights. The other women's quarter-final is Daniela Hantuchová taking on Victoria Azarenka. Hantuchová in the betting at 6-1. Azarenka is 1-10 in this matchup. Daniela Hantuchová came through against Alison Risk, the young promising American, in the previous round, 6-3, 5-7, 6-2. Victoria Azarenka, three sets again for Azarenka against Anna Ivanovic, 4-6, 6-3, 6-4. I managed to catch a little bit of the Hantuchová Alison Risk match, Nick, and there was lots of pressure on the young American, first time in the second week of a slam, and maybe just succumbed to that pressure a little bit later on.
Yeah, I mean, she's come from nowhere, really, and she has some risk. And if you look at her form, I mean, she did well at Wimbledon, but, you know, big, big ask for her. I mean, Daniela Hantuchová is one of the hardest working women on tour, Dave. I mean, I remember being in Cincinnati this year, getting in 9 o'clock most mornings to work, and she was the first person on the practice court I saw. So this is a girl who just puts hours and hours into her game, so dedicated to the sport, so professional, has been a bit fragile, again, has been really overrun in the sort of 2010 onwards with the big hitters that have come through, and I think that's hurt her. But again, I think she's played very, very well, and I do think she'll come through this one, actually, or certainly has a good shot. Azarenka obviously has been struggling, as you say, been a bit patchy, having won in three sets on a couple of different occasions. It is tough. I mean, I'd certainly give Hantuchová a shot, but I definitely would. I think she's playing well. She's a great ball striker. She's thin as a rake. You see her. I mean, it's incredible. There's nothing of her, but she relies on her timing. Slightly worried as to whether Azarenka can hit her straps, and I'm just slightly worried that Azarenka's maybe sort of got through her tough couple of matches, which could well sort of made her match tough, if you like. So, difficult one. At a push, I'd probably go with Azarenka in maybe two tight sets. But I don't think we're too one-sided. Hantuchová's got a lot of experience behind her. You know, she's not someone that's going to be green on this occasion. I think she'll certainly have a game plan. Again, she's working with good people at the moment. So, two close sets. I think Azarenka might just sneak it.
Azarenka to win two sets to love is 2-7. But if you fancy the handicap betting, Daniela Hantuchová receiving 6.5 games on the handicap is 8-11. So if you fancy two tight sets, that's the way you would go. Hantuchová plus 6.5 at 8-11 on the handicap market there. We finish off with the one semi-final that has been decided already. Serena Williams versus Nhar Lee. Serena Williams 1-8. Nhar Lee is in the betting at 5-1. Serena Williams has been absolutely sensational, as we expected she would be this week at the US Open. She's only dropped
13 games,
which is just incredible in five matches, and came through against Carla Suarez Navarro 6-love, 6-love. She's been sensational, Nick.
She has, and no surprise, as you say, in her record in Grand Slam semi-finals. She's played 23 Grand Slam semi-finals and has won 20 of those. So, I mean, that gives you an idea of her record when it really sort of gets down to the business. But Lee Nhar has been extremely impressive, Dave, extremely impressive. And we talk about coaching relationships and partnerships that are working well. Well, Carlos Rodriguez is really beginning to make an imprint on this girl's game. She's serving volleying a little bit. I thought against Laura Robson, I don't know if you saw any of the match with Laura Robson, but she was outstanding, I thought, against Laura Robson. I mean, she was returning serve within a couple of inches of the baseline. Her ground strokes were deep. They were hard. She wasn't missing as much as she used to. Her mentally, which, again, she can be a little bit frail, she was really knuckling down. I think this can be close. I genuinely do. I think this will be Serena's biggest test. I mean, obviously, she won Love and Love last night against Carla Suarez Navarro, but I think this will be close. I think Lee Nhar is playing very well, and she will not be, you know, she, first of all, she won't be intimidated. She won't be overrun, I don't think. And if she can keep the ball to a good length, as she has been, that is critical against Serena, because if you've got the ball short, you're obviously going to be doing a lot of running, because she can attack you. But I think she's returning well as well, and obviously that's Serena's best weapon, her serve. So if he can get a lot of deep returns back into play, I really think this can be close. I think, you know, again, the records are not great, but, you know, the value for me may well be in Lienard getting a set here, Dave. Again, you give me the prices, but I think that could well be a bit of value in Lienard getting a set.
Yeah, Serena Williams to win 2-1 is 4-1. 3 sets in the match, if you don't want to pick a winner, is in the betting at 13-5. But you'd probably go with Serena 2-1, 4-1.
Yeah. 2-1, definitely a bit of value in there.
And you look back through their records, there is evidence to support this as well. Even though Serena Williams has completely dominated the head-to-head, only one of their matchups hasn't had a 7 in the scoreline at some point. So
yeah, you're talking about
9 matches where at least one of them has gone 7-5 or 7-6. So it could be a tight match, this one.
Definitely, definitely. Lienard is playing some of the best tennis of her life, and she has a very good coach in her corner who knows his stuff, and she's made the adjustments. She's definitely improved. And I think, you know, I've seen her play some good tennis this week. And as I say, you know, I repeat what I say, I think this is a matchup where both women at the back of the court will trade. It's probably a 55-45 matchup when they're at the baseline, but it's not a 70-30 like it is for Serena against most other players. So, I'm expecting this one to be close, Dave. You know, maybe a couple of tie breaks, as you say, and Lienard could well sneak a set and put some pressure on Serena for the first time this tournament.
I'm happy as well, Nick, that you referenced that match against Laura Robson, because after that match, a lot of disappointment, obviously, this side of the Atlantic, with Laura Robson being eliminated by Lienard, but it can't be underestimated or underplayed how well Robson played in that match.
Well, I sat and watched Robson's second match from the stands on Monday, Tuesday last week. I thought she was playing really, really well against French girl Garcia. And I thought Robson was great, playing really well. I was impressed with her and expect her to have a good autumn. Dave, I tell you, if she can start to, you know, again, just stay fit, I'm expecting Robson to have a good autumn. She could well be top 25 end of the year. I genuinely believe that. I think, you know, she's looking good. She's looking fit, stronger. And she was outplayed by a better player on the day. But, you know, keep a close eye on Laura because she's going the right way, definitely.
What do you think the best bet is? We talked through 7 matches. Would you say usually to pick up a set against Djokovic, perhaps?
Yeah, and I think probably Lienard as well to get a set. Definitely. Yeah. I think, you know, definitely a little bit of value in Lienard to get a set against Serena. That's me probably at the 7. That's where I think there's some value for sure.
Nick, superb speaking to you this morning, and I look forward to catching up as we progress through the US Open 2013. Been a terrific tournament so far, and hopefully we can unearth some more winners.
Pleasure.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.